Dad's Best Friend. I don't know if my dad remembers that with Wesley's funeral. There was a lady who sung that. That last verse really stood out as far as at that funeral. No power of death, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Before we get into the Word of God, let me say thank you, Sister Rebecca and Brother Josh, for the baby shower yesterday, and Sister Becky and Sister Rebecca, you both made my wife cry, I heard. The devotion and prayer and just a good time of fellowship, so thankful for that. I will make a comment. This past Friday, I think it was, I had about 10 robocalls, and I just had another one just a minute ago. Proves me it's of Satan right in the middle of a service. But I did get an opportunity to witness briefly to a couple of them out of the 10. So even though the devil is working hard, you know what? We need to be on our toes and going forward, like Brother Josh said. We need to go forward. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy the 6th chapter. As you're turning there, I'd like to ask you a question. If you were to come into a sum of money, whether it be, I remember one time walking out of a Rite Aid many years ago back in South Carolina, and I saw $20 lying on the ground. And I thought, well, my goodness. And I'm looking around, there ain't nobody in sight. And I'm thinking, back in that time, I was thinking different than I would this day and time, there's some money. But if you were to come into some money, and I know some of y'all have at times, I'm not going to mention names, somebody had mentioned that somebody from the past had reimbursed them because of a deed of their husband. And it was kind of a surprise, you know. And if you were to come in, say, like, to $100, $500, or $1,000, what is your first thought when all of a sudden you got money you didn't have and you weren't expecting? What is your primary thought that comes to you when you first find it? Or maybe somebody's paying a debt you weren't expecting. Would you think, now I can buy something? Or maybe I can put it down on some debt? Or maybe I can invest it in something? Or maybe I'll just give it away. I hear no volunteers on the giving away part. As we grow older in life, and all of us are growing older in life, some of us are growing older faster than others, but our thinking changes in some ways. I must say that the predominant thought that comes to my mind is I ask for wisdom that I can use whatever I got to the glory of God. And I pray that would be your thoughts also, that you would seek to glorify God. New Life Baptist Church has been a very, very giving church, as you can see. Our building fund, as you can see, when there's times of need, people reach out and help, and we're thankful for that. In the Word of God, we read this morning a passage of Scripture that deals with riches, that deals with wealth. Now, we as children of God, we are very, very rich. Not only because of what we've got ahead of us in the age to come, but also even in this present time. Oftentimes, the Apostle Paul would write letters and he would start out by saying, grace and mercy be multiplied unto you. And if you're a child of God, I don't care how low you are in life at times, you know what you can say? You've experienced the grace of God multiplied. You can say you've had His mercy multiplied to you time and time again. You can say you know your sins have been forgiven, that forgiveness has been granted unto you. You know you have peace promised to you from the Word of God. You know there are precious, very, very precious promises that His divine power has given us. He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Did you get that? All things. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Exceeding precious promises. He's given us His Spirit. He is called our advocate with the Father, our mediator. When you think about it, we can go on and on and on. We are very rich in a spiritual sense. We have His presence and His power right here with us. In chapter 6, in verse 17, the Word of God says, charge them, or command them. Charge them that are rich in this present world, or in this world, and it's talking about right here, right now, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now I want you to look back at verse 9. Verse 9 says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verses 9 and 10 are talking about the wannabes. These are the ones who want to be rich. They ain't got rich yet, but they want to be. And those who want to be are the ones that fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts, and they're often destroyed by their quest for riches and wealth. But in verse 17, it addresses a different group of people. These would be more so the ones who have arrived. They have wealth. They have this world's goods. It was a Puritan by the name of Cotton Mather that said, religion begat prosperity, and the daughter has devoured the mother. And how often true that is. Listen to what the Word of God says as Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19 and down in verse 16. Matthew 19 and verse 16, the Word of God says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing should I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? And Jesus saith, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now this man, he's a young man, he's got a very high opinion of himself. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Now, our Lord knows the heart, and that's what He does. He deals with the issues of the heart. So Jesus said unto him, if you will be perfect, go sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The disciples hearing this, they're just astonished. And they're thinking, who can go to heaven then? Jesus answers, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With riches comes responsibility. With wealth comes responsibility. Now, some of y'all might be thinking, this message does not apply to me, but I beg to differ with you. The poorest in the United States of America, according to a Forbes magazine article, it says, are richer than 70% of all that are living in the world. Now, think of that. That means that includes you when Jesus is talking about those that are rich or that have this world's goods. In verse 9, you see the one of these. In verses 11 through 14, you see God's man. In verses 15 and 16, you see God's glory. But in verses 17 through 19, you see those who are rich or who have this world's goods. Now, God does not condemn having wealth. God does not condemn you having possessions. And everybody in here has possessions, or you'd be naked. Thank God you got possessions. And you know what? We've got a lot of possessions compared to most of the world. If you think about it, as I said, even the poorest in the United States are 70% better off than the rest of the poor in the world. Think with me for a moment. Everyone in here's got running water. Boy, down in Jamaica, that water was barely running. And you know what? We got heated water. You know what? In Jamaica, it was no heated. I don't mean to be getting down on Jamaica, but that's in third world countries you find they're lacking a lot of these things. Here, we've got electricity. And if a light bulb goes out, you know what? We can replace that pretty quick. Unless you're married and you want your husband to do it. Uh-oh. You think about it, we've got appliances, cars. I dare say everybody in here's probably got more than one Bible. You know what? We are richly blessed with things, material possessions. But with possessions and wealth comes responsibility. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul addresses Timothy, and he gives them two cautions or two dangers that are of come with wealth. One of it is a misplaced attitude. The Word of God says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Have you ever been around a wealthy person that's snooty? You know what snooty means? It means they have their nose up in the air. That's high-minded. It means to be conceited. It means to have pride. It means to think that you're better than somebody else. That's the wrong attitude, is what the Word of God's saying. What it's basically saying, you've got an exalted opinion of yourself. Therefore, you look down upon other people. Listen to what God's Word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and down in verse 7. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 says this. For who makes you to differ from another? And what have you that you did not receive? I have had people tell me, everything I've got, I've earned, and I did it myself. Really? You know what? You didn't get anything of your own self. If you didn't have health, you wouldn't have what you got. You know where your health comes from? It is God who gives. And then the Word of God says, why do you glory as if you had not received it? Everything we have is because of God's goodness. And you know what? The things we don't have, it's because of God's goodness. God is good. What is the opposite of being high-minded? Snooty. I believe it's found in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That mind is a humble mind, one that has humility. The first danger of wealth, possessions, money, whatever it may be, the first danger is a misplaced attitude. The second danger, what we see in verse 17, is a misplaced hope. The Word of God says, nor trust in uncertain riches. Do you know, if you have money, it could be here today and gone tomorrow. If you've got possessions, it could also be here today, gone tomorrow. I was reading the story about a man whose house was in the woods and there was a forest fire. They were told to get out of their house and they only had a few hours. What they did, they grabbed what was most valuable. If you knew a fire was coming and it was about to consume your home, what would be most valuable to you? You know what? I dare say the majority of stuff would be left behind, wouldn't it? Don't place your hope in uncertain riches. Listen to what the Word of God says over in Proverbs 11. In Proverbs 11, down in verse 28, the Word of God says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Over in Proverbs 23, down in verses 4 and 5, Proverbs 23, verse 4 says, labor not to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. Will you set your eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly as an eagle toward heaven. How many of us have not experienced that with the last paycheck? Isn't that what happens? Money takes wings and it flies away. We often sing, I'll fly away, like we did a little bit ago. But boy, we can really say that's true with the wealth of this world, money of this world. Look over in Luke chapter 12. Luke's Gospel chapter 12, look down in verse 16. The Word of God speaks of a rich man. Jesus is talking about this in a parable. And in this parable of this rich man, the Word of God says that his ground that he owned brought forth plentifully. And the Word of God goes on to say in verse 17, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. I don't have anywhere to put the abundance of the land that's coming, giving forth all this that's going to give me wealth. I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Skip the verse there. He was going to build bigger barns to store that fruit. Then he's going to take his ease. But God calls him a fool. He says, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know what? You can have a will. You can have a say-so while you're in this world. But it don't always go as you plan. I can tell you, I was friends with the funeral home director, and this funeral home director, when he retired, he passed away within 6 months. Had surgery, had another surgery, and had complications. He died very quickly. He told me that he lived in the country, and he instructed his family on his farm, dig a hole, wrap them in a sheet, and throw them in the hole. Now, you know what? You can do that if you own your own property outside of the city. I didn't know that. I thought it was kind of surprising. So what happened? I found out they didn't do that. Now, you know what? The man who passed away did not have a say-so in it. In other words, whatever you accumulate in this life, you can't take it with you. Riches are uncertain. They pass away. The only thing certain about riches is they're going to go away. Don't put your hope in uncertain riches. But notice where you're to put your hope, the Word of God says, in the latter part of verse 17, in the living God. Some people put their money back in a retirement account. Some people who put their money back in the retirement account never reach retirement. They pass away before retirement. Where is your hope? Where is your hope at? The Word of God tells us, put your hope in the living God. You remember what the Word of God tells us? My God shall supply all your needs. You could probably finish that verse. According to His riches and glory. The Word of God also tells us, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want or shall not lack anything. You see, the shepherd watches after his sheep. The shepherd takes care of his sheep. The shepherd guides his sheep to the food. The shepherd gives the sheep food. He makes sure they do not get in lice and all that other stuff. The shepherd's job is to take care of the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Where is your hope? Is your hope in the shepherd? The good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. Over in Romans chapter 8 and down in verse 34, the Word of God says that he that spared not his only son, verse 32, but he gave him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now listen to what the Word of God says. In verse 17, put your hope in the living God who gives us richly all things. Now why does God give you what you got? One thing, let me tell you, it's a test of stewardship. Another thing, he gives it to you to richly enjoy. Now, you know what? If you consume it upon your own lust, you're not going to enjoy it for too long. What is our duty with what we have? What is my duty with my bank account? What is my duty with my possessions of possessions? You know what? If you're a child of God, it's the same for you. Notice what the Word of God says in verse 18. That they do good. Your number one priority is doing good. When it's within your ability, you're to use what you've got of this world's possessions, material wealth, to do good works. When God's giving you the ability, you're to do good. And notice it goes on to say, that they be rich in good works. This rich in good works is abounding in good works. If we are to do good, remember, often people will say this, God is good. And usually what people finish that statement, what do they say after God is good? All the time. Well, you know what you need to do is your Father in heaven. Do good. When? All the time. We are to do good. But notice what it says here. Oh, let me give you a little example. I got to share something with you. I went to the concert the other night. Mercy me. I did. Sister Barbara did too. And it was good. But as we drove by, there was a police officer right out my left side window. And it was Officer... I'm not going to repeat his name. I don't want to get him in trouble. He's the one that gave you the ticket. Remember I told you I got a ticket? So I rolled down my window and I yelled, hello! Sound like Charlie Brown movie, don't I? But I was being kind to him. Trying to do him good. And what that did, it's reminded me to pray for him. That he don't catch me again. No, pray that I don't have a heavy foot. But I do pray for him, and I pray for his family. I pray for his protection. He don't know that. Won't even know that if he hears this sermon. Because he wouldn't recognize his name, would he? Not unless he can translate that. But we're to do good. And the Word of God tells us we ought to be abounding in doing good. That means rich in doing good. You know what? It's possible for each and every one of us. Listen to what the Word of God says over in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, a very familiar passage of Scripture, down in verse 8, the Word of God says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast." I tell you the story about Officer of the cause, not bragging of a good work, but encourage you to do good works, even when somebody's going adversely against you. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, God's already got the works planned out for you to do. It's your responsibility to do the good works. What good works? How do we use our wealth? Let me give you a simple guideline from the passage of Scripture previous to chapter 6. Look in chapter 5. In chapter 5, I want you to notice what the Word of God says. First off, look down in verse 8. "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." In other words, with your possessions, with your wealth, you need to provide for your family, and if you do not, you're worse than an infidel. Look down in verse 3. "Honor widows that are widows indeed." There's good works that needs to be done for widows who are widows indeed. In verse 17, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." It's talking about church leaders. Do good unto them. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 4, in verses 34 and 35, there were a group of believers that were in need. And what the rest did, they tried to help out those in need. In other words, we're to help those that are in need, that are believers. We're to help missionaries. We're to help to get the gospel going forth, that others might take it. We are to be, as that song says, marching on, marching on. I think of Brother Paul Brown Sr. That's his theme. Every one of his letters, you know, "For Christ count everything but loss. And to crown him king will toil and sing neath the banner of the cross." Marching on, doing good works. It has been about, I guess, a year and a half, 2 years, where we really started pushing the building program. I've told members of this church, I would pray for you that the Lord would prosper you. And that I have done. And I continue to pray that God would prosper you. But let me tell you what happens when God prospers you is that you're going to be put to a spiritual test. If God gives, it's often a test of your spirituality. I told the story of where we took up an offering many years ago for a young woman in our church. She was a single parent. She was regular in attendance. She came that Wednesday night, told me she had a need, a gas bill that were about to cut off. Now, this was for a member of this church, in case anybody else is listening. That night, I presented it to the church. I didn't tell anybody how much her bill was. It was $321. Her bill was $320. You see how God meets needs? Later, she got a better paying job. I mean, a much better paying job. She is more than able to make ends meet. She's moved away from here. But she told me, when she got this better paying job, she says, "You know, Pastor, it's harder writing a big check than a little check." Now think about it. it's God that prospered her, but that flesh, you know how it is. It's harder to write a bigger check than a smaller. Many people believe, and some even in this congregation believe in tithing. Let me tell you where I stand on that. You ought to start with 10%. But if all you're giving is 10%, you're robbing God. Because bring you all your tithes and offerings to the Lord. A tithe is just a test, you know, a little 10%. God has given you everything that you got. Now, how you give is strictly between you and God. I don't have anything to do with finances to the best of my ability. Brother Wayne never shares with me about anybody giving. That's between you and God. Brother Wayne does not share, and Brother David helps him take up the offering now. Brother Harry's passed on. They do not share what people give. You're not to let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. You know what? It's none of your business how much I give, and it's none of your business how much each other give. What's your business is how much you give. That's between you and God. Hear what God's Word says. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who gives us all things richly to enjoy. And then He tells us, look down in verse 18, be ready to distribute, willing to communicate. In other words, we are to be generous with what we've got, and we're to be willing to share with what we've got. To be ready to distribute brings out the liberalism in me. Literally what it's saying, be liberal in your giving. I love liberals that are liberal givers. My dad once told me he believes in denominations. $5, $10, and $20, and $100. He believes in all them denominations. We ought to be generous as we give, and we ought to be willing to share. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we read in the Word of God how people gave and how they gave sacrificially and how they gave wholeheartedly. How the Lord loves a cheerful giver. The Lord loves one who gives hilariously, is literally what it's saying. It's one who loves to give and gets great joy from giving. You know what? If you hoard, y'all seen the Hoarder show? I forgot what the name of it is. That's some sad cases, ain't it? I hope I'm not talking about anybody in here. I ain't seen you on TV. But you know what? You've got to be miserable if you just hoard and greed and want and desire more and more and more. Here, the Word of God says, communicate. Willing to communicate. That word communicate comes from the word koinonia, which is the word fellowship, which means be sociable. Mingle with one another. If somebody hurts, you hurt with them. I hurt with them. We hurt together. In 1 John chapter 3 and down in verse 17, the Word of God says, whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother have a need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? God's Word gives us instructions of how we're to live our lives as good stewards. I want you to notice the results of living by God's Word. Look in verse 19. Verse 19 says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. And then it says, that they may lay hold on eternal life. There's a couple things here I want to point out, and we'll close with this. But we're to lay up in store for a good foundation. You know what? You cannot lay up in store in this life and expect it to be there when you get to the end of life, because your end of life might come before your plan of the end of life. Some may not live to be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. Yeah, we don't know our time. We need to pray that the Lord would teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts toward wisdom. You remember what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 6 and down in verses 19 and 20. Jesus said this in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt." What does the Word of God say that we were just reading in 1 Timothy 6? It says uncertain riches. That's what Jesus is talking about over here. Where thieves do not break through and steal. He says, for where your treasure is, you can finish that verse too. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's at. Are you laying up in store for a good foundation? Are you laying up treasures in heaven? You know what? When you do as God has told us to in this short passage of Scripture, it's then you see, notice what it says back in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Get a grip on eternal life. I have eternal life. It's because of what Christ has done for me. I'm going to live forever. Therefore, I need to lay up treasures in heaven. Therefore, I need to do good. I need to be abundant, generous, willing to share, giving with what I've got, with what God has entrusted me with. Invest in eternity. It's what God is telling us to do. He tells us, charge them, command them. Now, we believe salvation is by grace through faith. It's not of works. But let me tell you, everyone's going to be rewarded for their works or lose rewards because of their works. Have you laid hold on eternal life? This message, I want you to notice what it says. At the end of verse 17, once again, put your hope in God because He gives us all things richly to enjoy. You remember what we looked at last week? How God is the blessed. You remember what blessed means? God is the happy, the content. He rules, He reigns. Nothing's going to get Him out of whack. He's the happy God. And He gives us all things richly to enjoy. Therefore, we need to wholeheartedly, sacrificially, be willing to distribute, share, give. You know what? Here's where blessings in life come from. Come from God. But as we receive, and as you have received freely, freely give. The greatest joy you can have in life is giving your time to help someone, right? God blesses us in that process. Giving to somebody in need instead of to consume upon our own lust. Is that not what God has shown toward us in giving us His best, giving us His Son? He gave that we might have life and have it to the full, abundant life. Oh, I pray you know Him as Lord and Savior. Don't trust in uncertain riches. Don't trust in the things of this world, but trust in the living God who gives us all things. And you too can be content in Him. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word that gives us instructions, that teaches us how to be good stewards of all that You have given us. Lord, we pray that you'd help each and every one of us to be cheerful givers. Not just givers, but be cheerful givers. Lord, we ask that you take our lives and use them. Use our lives for the honor and uplifting of your name.